Hello, welcome to my 12th, no, 13th diary entry. So I'm actually outside right now. Hopefully there's not any crazy sounds that will come up that will be hard to hear me. But today I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very productive. I don't have any classes. I went to the gym in the morning. I am working on an assignment. I was working on an assignment in the morning, and I'm gonna have to finish it up tonight. And I'm doing this diary as well. I feel hopeful that things will continue to get better in terms of COVID because, I spoke to one of my teachers this week when I was in person in class. They were saying that we're going to be in class, like hopefully in person in class next semester, next year. I might have already said this in one of my other entries, but I just keep thinking about it. Like, I'm really excited to actually be in person. It's gonna be like a hard drive for me because I'm in Mississauga, so it's a little further to go every day. But like, it's just 1 year of doing that. Probably not for every single class, but it's just gonna be very helpful to be more hands-on. I think I'm one of those people, like kinesthetic learner, where I need to do things more hands-on. So that's very exciting. And I'm getting my second dose. I already mentioned this also too, but next week. So I'm worried, but I'm excited. It's all good. Everything's feeling more positive than it was before. So today I want to talk about someone who is not talked about enough, in my opinion. His name is John Ware. So he was born into slavery in the States in the South. Nobody really knows when he was born or where he was born exactly. Some people say it was in South Carolina. Some people say it was, or he says he was born in Tennessee on his marriage certificate, but there's no real confirmation. But he was born around 1845, and he after the American Civil War, and obviously after slaves were freed, emancipation, he went to Texas and he learned to be a rancher and become a cowboy. So that's kind of where he got his skills. So he was very good riding a horse. He was a very good rancher, and from there he sort of worked his way up to Canada. So a lot of people in those days that were former slaves would do that because it was said that there was less racism in the North, more opportunity in the North. It's very common to see people traveling up north during this time that were enslaved. We don't know like so many details about his life just because it's not on record, but at some point he did eventually get to Alberta, and I believe he was in Calgary. So when he was there, he was just very influential, really. That's what it is. He's known as a Canadian cowboy, which is amazing. And he was very influential. He kind of started the ranching industry in southern Alberta. Like, he was part of the beginnings of setting that industry in place, but also of just the growth of the area. Like, it wasn't as obviously big as it is now. There's not as many towns and cities and things going on. He was one of the first people to really help improve that area, one of the first ranchers, and yeah, so very influential, very well known in that area, even to this day, very famous there, very respected among all the communities in that area, had good relationships with his neighbors, with everybody. And he ended up marrying a woman named Mildred Lewis, who he really loved. Oh, also the reason why I'm talking about him, or I just really learned more about him, I watched a documentary called John Ware Revisited, and it was, wait a minute, sorry, John Ware Reclaimed, sorry, John Ware Reclaimed, not Revisited. It's by Cheryl Fogo from it's on the NFB website. Cheryl Fogo is very much involved in the documentary as well because she's from around that area, and she's also from a formerly enslaved family, like her history. So she connected a lot with his story. Like she's in living in Canada, but her ancestors were formerly in the south of the States. And so she feels like not only is she connected through their history in that sense and where they came from and originated from, but also the cowboy community. I don't even know if that's what you would call it, but her family was also very, had, you know, very into riding horses, ranchers, things like that. So she grew up in a very similar way to maybe, I guess, his descendants as well. So, yeah, he had, I think, 6 children, and then one of them died when he was just a child. The other ones grew up to be adults, but none of his kids had kids, and that's so interesting to me. Like, there were 6 of them. They all got married and, you know, grew up to be adults. Not one of them had a child. So there's no descendants, actually. I said descendants 5 seconds ago. There's no actual descendants from John Weir and his family, which is incredible. But he has a really big legacy. His story became really popular after Grant McEwen, who is an author, wrote John Weir's biography. It's called John Weir's Cow Country, J.W. Grant McEwen. And it was in the 70s that he released this book, I believe. And it was very popular, or became, maybe not very popular, I'd say, but became pretty well known. And he became more well known because of it. But that said, though, I've never heard of him before this, you know, like, he's such an important part in Canadian history. From the stories that I've heard, he's super impactful. He's also just a kind man, a good man, somebody who really should be talked about in our history. And obviously also, he's not a white man. Like, that also is important to talk about, how there's different cultures and different races that have impacted our country so much in such positive ways, and to discuss that in classrooms for people to know, and for there to be also representation, as well as just a better understanding of where we come from, or like where we come from as in where technically we settled into, you know, especially if we're a country of immigrants. So it's important for us to know all of the different stories out there. It was pretty much, that's my main kind of thought on it. Like, it was just such an incredible story to hear, and really touching, really well done documentary. It was actually from 2020, so it's very recent. And it was just touching because the way that Cheryl went about telling the story, she told it a lot through her experience and her eyes as well. Like, being somebody who's from that area with similar roots, she kind of connected her story to his, which is really cool. But also there was like animation in there and things like that, where you could get almost a feel of the love that John Weir had for his family, for his wife. And it's like very sentimental, because obviously, like, we have photos of John Weir here and there, but photos from that time are very serious, and you can't get a real feel of somebody's personality or anything like that. But yeah, you know, and the thing is, she talks about something very important as well, is that there was a lot of racism at the time as well. There was this narrative that, you know, the more north you go, or like, you know, when you leave the south and you go up north, there's much less racism. It's totally, like, even as far as to say Canada's a racist free country, like, there's this narrative that is propelled that she was talking about. And obviously that's not true. Like, maybe yes, maybe there's less racism than certain areas in the south, I don't know, but there's definitely still quite a lot. And unfortunately, John Weir and his family did actually have those encounters. It's not, again, not as much as recorded, not as many stories are on paper or anything like that. His descendants didn't have grandchildren to continue to keep telling the stories necessarily, but we do know that there are key incidents where there's things that there's language that was said. John Weir was called certain names, and or a name that was very racist for a long time. So there was a lot of that still, and I do want to just make sure I discuss that and talk about that, because, you know, that's part of his story that unfortunately that happened. And I don't want to say overcame, because I don't know him personally, but he was just such an incredible figure that, yes, I need to mention that, but I want to really highlight how incredible he was for Canadian history. And, you know, even hearing his story and his connection to Canada would hopefully help a narrative of anti-racism in the future. So that's kind of, you know, one great thing about hearing these types of stories. So yeah, it was more just like, I don't really have so much to analyze on this, except for the fact that it's really touching. It was a really important story for me to learn. And it also does connect to more of the fact that Canada has so much history that we just don't talk about or learn about when we're younger. And unfortunately, I would hope that that would change. It's sad because there's a lot out there that needs to be shared. And I remember in my school, like, I really didn't learn that much important history. I learned some in high school, I learned the World Wars. Literally all we talked about was the World Wars, pretty much. Or like the war of like 1812 and things like that. And the truth is, war history to me and to many people, I could tell from the classroom, is so boring. It's just because it's like there was the battle of this, and then this guy shot this, and he climbed the hill because he knew that there was going to be a group there that he can, like, that's not a real story. People want to connect to like other people and their lives as opposed to just a battlefield, and some people like that, but I'm just saying, like, that's kind of how we learned it, and it wasn't really helpful or interesting. It didn't stick with me. I don't even know what happened in these battles for the most part, because I didn't care that much. World War II and World War I, same thing. We did learn more about certain figures, but again, that's not necessarily Canadian history. We did learn about Indigenous history growing up, but we in like elementary school a lot. But the truth is, we didn't really learn about the oppression of Indigenous people at all, which is mind-blowing and horrifying, but that's just what happened when I grew up. So yeah, so it's just like hearing this, I just hope that the future will be better in terms of education about history and things. And that there's more of an open mind to also, I hope, this is not even like, this is just a thought. I just hope that younger people do become more interested in history. Just, I mean, I am very interested in it. And I know not everybody's going to be like this. Like, it's kind of a rare thing for people to really like this kind of stuff. But yeah, I just hope that there's really an open-mindedness to learn, as well as a real push for teachers and people and adults to teach their kids these things. Because I think that it starts with the adults, to be honest. So yeah, that's my rant again. And I'm just really happy that I got to hear the story. I'm really touched by it. And I will definitely, it's one of those stories that will kind of carry on with me through the day, and probably more than that as well. So I'm really happy.